Good morning. Thank the Lord for that song. Appreciated you singing that. We surely want the presence of the Lord with us this morning. From the requests that were given in, I'm sure there's some heavy hearts here this morning. We're needing the Lord to bless us. Need the Lord to bless my throat this morning also. Dear Shepherd, I hear and I will follow. It's real important that we not only hear but then follow, isn't it? Thank the Lord. We want to testify this morning that we're still saved by the blood of the Lamb. Thank the Lord for all that He puts in our life. He knows exactly what we need, doesn't He? I said that to someone yesterday. Someone asked Lauren and me to sing that song, Keep the Faith, which we sang here, I think, the last time we were here. And as we finished the song, this person had not ever heard the song before, and they said, where did you get that song? So I told her the story of how the Lord blessed that song to us one day. It was on a tape. We were there at home. We were going through such a severe trial. And the Lord sent that song, and my ears picked up on the words of it. And my testimony to that person was that the Lord gave me just what I needed at the right time. How that I used that song. I sang that song over and over and over, day in and day out. Just keep the faith. No matter what happens, you keep the faith. And you know the Lord, He comes along then. It becomes a reality to you. You're able to take hold, take those steps of faith, move forward, thank the Lord. But the Lord knows just what we need. And we appreciate the Lord this morning. We love the Lord. We want to be His servant. We want to be His child. We don't want to draw back in any way. We're pressing, and I'm talking about the church. It's pressing against the very opposing powers of Satan this morning. Satan desires to destroy the church. But the Lord said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank the Lord. Now we need your prayers this morning. We do have a heavy burden on our heart for our granddaughter, but we're laying it aside to minister to the people and to follow what the Lord has given. We feel that the message this morning is as much for myself as for anyone here. We need the Lord to help us to, I'm talking about myself. I want the Lord to help me to take this thing in that He has given. And I trust that it will be for you also. We would like for you to turn to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. We will start reading at the first verse. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And that they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. In another place it says, turn away from these people. Verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called. We wanted to read this portion of Scripture, not that this is our whole text, but these are things that we need to be reminded of from day to day, that you and I need to not have our hearts set on this money of this world, the wealth of this world, the material things of this world. And our text this morning is in the 6th verse, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We desire you to pray for us that the Lord will give us exactly what He would want us to say. We see two different subjects here. We see part of it is on godliness. The other part is on being contented. And we want to speak to you by the help of the Lord this morning on the first part, and hopefully have time for the second part on godliness. Godliness within itself is great gain. When you and I came to the Lord, we were, a scripture was read in the Sunday school for us to remember the pit from which we were digged. Maybe not exactly those words, but that's what that means. You and I need to always look back to the place that we came from, those things that the Lord saved us from, allowing that to be great gain in our life. Realizing I am not that person that I once was. I don't go around with the temper that I once had. Do you remember? You that might have battled the temper. I had the temper. I understand how it is to have to battle that thing in your life. And yet when the Lord came in, and the grace of God came in, and He gave you grace at those times when, had you not had the grace, you would have gave them a piece of your mind. You would have threw the little temper fit, so to speak. And you know, it's so distasteful in adults to see these kind of actions. And yet, if they carry over, adults act just exactly like that. But yet, we look back, and godliness is great gain this morning. We have been the benefit of godliness. We have had the benefit of salvation. We have reaped that great benefit of being delivered from ourselves, being delivered from those characteristics in our life that were so distasteful even to ourselves, thank the Lord. Godliness this morning is great gain. And if you've experienced salvation, you can testify that godliness, the godliness in your life has been a great profit to you this morning. Thank the Lord. Godliness is great gain. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, starting at the 7th verse. It says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. This tells me then that I need to pursue something. When somebody is exercising their body, they're putting forth some effort to work those muscles and to strengthen those muscles. They're doing something about it. They can't just sit in a chair all day and not have the strong muscles or the strength in their body that they're seeking for, or whatever purpose that they're seeking in that bodily exercise. They're doing something about it. They have to get up and they have to move forward and pursue and put forth that effort. If you and I exercise ourselves unto godliness, there is something we have to do. It's not just going to fall on us this morning. We're going to have to pursue it. We're going to have to seek for it. And the Lord is able to help us to know how to seek after godliness, how to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Verse 8 says, for bodily exercise, it profiteth little. In other words, it's good for a short time. But after a while, if you don't keep it up, it's just going, your muscles will become flabby again. You won't be able to have the strength to do the things that you once did if you let down on the bodily exercise. But it says, godliness is profitable unto all. Thank the Lord this morning that godliness is profitable unto all things. That if I pursue, if I take that matter in my purpose, I'm going to pursue those things that are godly. I'm going to exercise myself in those things. I'm going to work at this thing. There is a reason why we need to work ourselves unto godliness. Not that our works is going to save us. We had in the Sunday school lesson this morning about this great supreme sacrifice, this sacrifice that was for everlasting, this sacrifice that gave us the power over ourselves, and that it was the only sacrifice that was ever going to be made, that it was this blood. It's going to be the thing that will save you and me. When you and I come down to the end of our life, we're going to have to plead the blood. We're not going to be saying, oh God, I've worked at this thing so hard. I've done this. I've done that. It's not going to stand up for anything. I remember when my father died last October, my husband and I were sitting by his side, and we were singing songs to him. We were singing songs such as, I believe Jesus saves. We believe he heard it. And you know, as I talked to him, even though he was in an unconscious state, I said, Daddy, just plead the blood. Plead it right down to your last breath. We can't say we're good people. The scripture tells us how we can have a profit in our life. And it is exercising ourselves unto godliness, pursuing the things of God, seeking those things that are above. This is all good. But we cannot hold it up before the Lord and say, I've worked at this thing so hard. It won't save me in the end, but it will save me a lot of heartache and trouble right here in this life. Thank the Lord. This scripture says, but godliness is profitable. If I exercise myself unto godliness, it is profitable in all things of my life, every area of my life. When I awaken in the morning, it's profitable to me to exercise myself unto godliness. As I go about my duties, as I go out to face the job, it's profitable if I have sought after the godly things first. As I go and meet with the world, and as I work with my family, as I work with the saints, I want to tell you, if we've exercised unto godliness, it's going to be profitable unto all things, thank the Lord. When the trial comes, when the test comes, when the hard places come, and they will come, it will profit me. It says, in even those things too, thank the Lord. If I have pursued godliness, godliness in my life. Godliness is great gain. You will not fail in any of it. There's no failure on God's part. If you seek after the things of God this morning, exercising yourself unto godliness, it will profit you in all things. Thank the Lord. And it says, having promise of the life that now is. That's why I know that for this life today, if I exercise myself unto godliness, it's going to profit me in every area of my life. I want to tell you this morning, some of you are getting close to the end of the way, and your mind may be getting a little weak, but I want to tell you even this morning, exercise yourself unto godliness. The Spirit of the Lord will be part of your life. It'll be right there. It'll keep your mind. It'll keep you in perfect peace. Thank the Lord. I want to encourage everyone, old and young alike, exercise unto godliness this morning, because it's a promise of the life that now is. Thank the Lord. And it says, of that which is to come. Oh, won't we be happy when we get over there and stand before the Lord and we have pled the blood, and that has been the thing that has saved us, but we have exercised ourselves unto godliness and that promise of standing before Him clear. Oh, and He can say unto us then, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into these blessed realms. Oh, I want to tell you, you'll be so glad you did it. I'll be so glad if I've kept the faith. I'll be so glad. Oh, all of the things that the enemy may make you think you've missed out on, may make you think that you had to give this up or that up, it will be nothing when we stand before the judgment bar of God to be judged for the deeds done in this body. It will seem as nothing if I have exercised myself unto this godliness. Amen. Lord, help us this morning. In this scripture that we read to you this morning in the 6th chapter and the 5th verse, there's a portion of that scripture that says, supposing that gain is godliness. I see in this a big possibility of deception, of thinking that, well, I'm being profitable in my life. I have all my bills paid. I'm not in debt. I have a new car. I have a new home. I have everything that my heart desires. I must be godly. This is a thinking that comes from the world. And we thank the Lord that the Lord put this in here this morning, because the poor people would have missed out. We can be poor in every kind of material thing of this life, and yet we can have great gain. We can have great gain in our life. Thank the Lord. But supposing that gain is godliness. This isn't the kind of profit that it was speaking of great gain, of godliness with contentment is great gain. That's not what that's talking about. There are those that think that if I get a raise on my job, well, I must be doing something right. Have you ever heard people say that? I must be living right. Maybe you've even heard people say it to you. Maybe they know of something that has been a great profit to you, and they'll say, well, you must be doing something right. I want to tell you today that the enemy would like for us to think that way, because there is a deception in that. What is deception? Deception is when we believe a lie about ourselves. Oh, I want to tell you this morning, down through my life, it has been one of the greatest fears that I would ever believe a lie about myself. You and I need to be on guard, that we be careful that we not convince ourselves we're all right if we're not. We need to be careful about the little small voice that comes and pricks our conscience and tells us in a small way, it will not be in a big way, Don't ever get it in your mind that the Lord is going to send that bolt of lightning and strike you in such a way and make you turn and go another way. He won't do it. It's going to have to be through those little dealings of your heart, that little tug right there at your very conscience. Oh, Lord, help us to have a keen conscience this morning, to be awake and alert to that still, small voice and not fall into a place that if I have gain in my life, I must be a godly person. Oh, Lord, help us. Help me this morning that I will not fall into a form of deception. What will this produce in our life? Over in 2 Timothy, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This is what will happen. If I begin to think that because I have gain in my life, I must be a godly person, I will then take on a form and I will only have a shell. It will be empty and void of that power because I have denied the power thereof, the power of a godly life. Oh, this is a warning to us this morning that we not take on a form, that we not get it in our mind that just because something is worked out in my life, the Lord sent a buyer for my house in one day, I must be doing something right, I must be in His great favor. I want to tell you, let's not judge the material things in our life according to our godliness or our godliness according to that. Let's recognize that we've got to do something else to be godly. We've got to be seeking those things which are above. Thank the Lord. Let us not take on just a form of godliness. Let us not just get a head knowledge. Let us have this thing in our heart, working in our life, working in our very mind, soul, keeping our mind on things that are above. Thank the Lord. How can we be godly? Let's turn to Colossians now. We've already almost quoted some of these scriptures. Colossians, the third chapter, starting at the first verse. How can I be godly? How can I exercise myself unto godliness this morning? This is how. If ye then be risen with Christ, that's going to have to be your first step, see? You can't just be a sinner out here, somebody that hasn't first been risen. In other words, been washed by the blood of the Lamb, saved from your sins, reconciled to Christ, as we had in the Sunday school lesson this morning, been redeemed by the blood. This is the first step. It can't just be somebody out here whose life has been nothing but trouble and sorrow, and they say, I want to turn over a new leaf. I think that's good if people want to turn over a new leaf. But they can't just suddenly say, I'm going to be a godly person. There's got to be a first step, see. I'm going to have to seek the Lord with my whole heart. Be saved. If ye then be risen with Christ, in other words, if you're now saved today, you're one of His children. Seek those things which are above. Oh, am I to look to the heavens? Am I to look to the stars? We have that in this world today, you see. We have those that are philosophers and astronomers, and they look to the stars, and they think that the stars and the position of the moon, that all of this, it affects my life, and it causes me to be a certain kind of a person. Oh, we have people that believe this, and they read these little parts in the paper. I can't even think what they're called because I haven't read them for a long time. But they have these names, Aries and Pisces. And I know you've probably seen that in the paper. And some people, they get the paper, and they'll look up, I'm a Pisces. I'm going to see what I need to think on today or what I need to be aware of today. And if you've read those kind of things, you see, those kind of things might say, well, you need to respect those of your friends, or it might give you some kind of a little instruction. And you know, there's people that really believe in those things, and they'll say, it works every day. No, those things are down below. Those things are of the earth. I want to tell you to seek those things which are above. It is that which is of heavenly things. Horoscope. I couldn't think of that. Thank you for helping me with that. You wouldn't find this in your horoscope. No, I don't think you'd ever find something there that says, exercise yourself under godliness today. I couldn't think of what that was called. It has been a long time. I tell you, there was a time I read those things. But listen, those are not godly things. Those are things of this earth. And this says, if I am to seek after the godly things, if I am to exercise myself unto godliness, I'm going to have to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Oh, well, I don't know what heaven is like. I want to tell you, it would do you good to sit down and just think about heaven for a little bit. Just dwell on it. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to come down. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to just commune with your spirit and give you something precious of what heaven is about. You know, we know that the Scripture gives us more about hell than it does heaven. We know far more about hell. Well, heaven is so great, it is so wonderful, it is so out of this world that we don't have proper words to describe it. The writers of the Bible, they try to give us a little glimpse of it. They say, well, it has streets of gold, and it has these beautiful stones in the gates, jasper, and I don't remember all those stones, but you know, those stones don't mean a whole lot to me, but I just know there's something of great value. I know that gold is something of great value. But listen, if you'll stop for a little bit and draw your mind in from all of the cares of this earth and all of the material things of this earth, your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. It's going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. And we need to dwell upon these things and allow the Spirit of the Lord. If we're seeking those things that are above, where Jesus sitteth on the right hand of the Father, it will pay me then to get a little mind's view of what heaven is really like. If Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, I need to have sort of a picture in my mind of God sitting there, and that His Son is right to the right hand. And I've got to have a little vision of all of the saints that went before, because they're going to come back as a cloud of witness. I need to have these things in my mind, because this is what I'm striving for. Exercising myself unto godliness. Thinking on those heavenly things. Thinking on His Word. Searching His Word. That's a way we can exercise ourselves also. Verse 2 says, set your affections. I want to tell you today, we're all human that are sitting here. There isn't one person that has an immortal body yet that's sitting here this morning. And we all have affections. The reference on this is set your mind. Your mind and my mind has a way of affecting our affections and our desires. And the Scripture says, set your affections on these things that are above. Get our mind off of all of these things down here. Yes, we need these things, but let us only use them for this life. Let us not make those the center of our life. It will not promote godliness in our life. It will promote covetousness when we seek for those things that are down here. Set your mind, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth or on the earth. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Exercising myself unto godliness. Let's go back to our scripture now in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, 6th verse. But godliness, we can say godliness is great gain. But he added a little something here. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We want to speak to you now about contentment. Contentment is such an important characteristic in a person's life. Have you ever known real contentment? Or has there always been just a stirring in my life, reaching out for this and reaching out for that, and never fully satisfied? I think there's a little saying, their train never comes in, or something to that effect. Their ship never comes in. I don't know exactly that saying, but I've heard something like that. Never satisfied. But oh, listen, this morning, if we're exercising ourselves into godliness, he wants us to find contentment. We'll have great gain. Oh, supposing that gain is godliness. Oh, we don't want to fall into that kind of a thought pattern at all. But this morning, we can find contentment, satisfaction with our life. Isn't this wonderful? You know, the world is looking for contentment. They're looking for satisfaction. They're looking for peace. They're looking for those things that will just let them rest. When I think of contentment, I think of rest. I just think of laying myself back and saying, Lord, just have your way. It's not in man to direct his own path. It's not in us. We may think it's in us that we know what is best for our life, but we don't. It is not in man to direct his own path. But the Lord knows how to direct our path this morning. He knows exactly what I need in my life. He knows I need that great trial, and he knows why I need it. And I may not see it just at that very moment. I may have to go through it and then look back on it and all the riches that I'm able to reap then of that trial that was so hard that I thought I could not endure for another day. But to find contentment in the midst of those places, satisfaction, trust, rest, whatever he allows in my life, I can be contented. Godliness. See, I've sought for God's way first. Seek those things which are above. Thank the Lord. And then I can have contentment. I've done all I know to do, so I'm going to just stand still. Scripture says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, he said that to Moses over there when the children of Israel were ready to cross the Red Sea. It looked like there was no escape. Here was coming the army behind them. The Red Sea was out before them. And he said, tell the people. Now listen, you and I can come to a place like that too. I don't see a way out in the place that I'm in. But I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to take his word and I'm going to be contented. I'm just going to rest in him. Thank the Lord. Contentment. Satisfaction with what a person is or has. I'm just satisfied. I've got the Lord. I've sought after the godliness in my life. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. I don't have to have anything else. Not wanting anything else. That's a definition. Content. Contentment. Not wanting anything else. Oh, I suppose that we're all, being human as we are, we come to places that we might desire certain material things. But let us wait for them. Let us seek the Lord for them. Have we ever done that? You know, I remember when we were first married, and as all young married couples are, they don't have much money. And my husband was one that would not go into debt. And we learned it quite early. We had a car payment. And it taught us a great lesson that after we got that car paid for, and I think we had a sweeper payment too, we said, we won't do that again. Well, it's not that we've never had any payments since then, but it's been the purpose of our life to just wait for things. Just save up our money until you have the money and then go pay for it. Oh, listen, there's a lot of contentment in that. There's a lot of satisfaction in that. And the Lord wants us to be satisfied in our life. See, he said, if you exercise yourself unto godliness, it'll be profitable unto all things. Right down the board. There isn't one area that will say, well, he can't profit me here. He will profit me and he will profit you in every area of your life if you will exercise yourself unto godliness and you'll pursue contentment in your life. To just be able to rest in the Lord. You know, what we're seeing in the world today is a frenzy. People just in a frenzy and they can't rest. They don't know how to slow down. They don't know how to relax. They're doing all they can to relax. They're pursuing it. And it's just evading them. They don't know what it means to be contented. What does it mean to be discontented? Seems like when I read the discontent definition, I was able to relate to the contented definition better. Restless desire for something one does not have. Just restless. Have you ever seen anybody just restless on the move all the time? You know, I believe that this is just absolutely part of our society and that the world has just moved into this mode that our grandparents and their parents and my parents even did not have this restless, discontented spirit. I believe that. I believe that even back when I was a child, it was different than it is today. I remember having more time as a child, my parents did. We'd sit out in the yard in the evening. Neighbors would come in and they'd just sit out and visit. We'd go out and visit my aunt and uncle out in the country in the evening. Just sit outside and talk. Just have a relaxed evening. When was the last time you've had a real relaxed evening like that? Me too. Busy all the time. Listen, this is a trick of the devil. He knows it's going to affect the godliness of my life if I am discontented, if I'm constantly restless, if I'm constantly seeking for something else. I've got to keep my house done up, and I like a clean house. I don't want you to think I'm saying go have a dirty house. I'm not saying that. But there's a lot of times that we just think we have to clean those windows when they could wait. We need to consider. We need to be contented. I looked up happiness. The definition for happiness is contented. Are you happy with your life? Are you happy just exactly where you are? Or are you desiring to, I'd like to be here. I'd like to be there. I don't like this. I don't like that about my life. Oh, if we can just be happy with our life. Happy. Then you know what another definition for happiness was? For contented, rather. A peaceful kind of happiness in which one rests without desires. I can just be happy with this right here until the Lord sees fit to change it or to turn it or to make it different. Oh, thank the Lord. I want us to consider Paul's life this morning. There's a scripture in Philippians, the 4th chapter. We're talking about godliness with contentment is great gain. And we recognize that godliness is great gain, but if we can attain to a contented spirit, we have truly gained. Now Philippians, the 4th chapter, and starting at the 11th verse, Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, Paul had to learn this. You and I need to learn how to be contented. It is not something that's just going to also fall on us. We're going to have to seek for a contented spirit in this world, and especially in our society today, because it has a discontented spirit. But Paul said, I've learned how, wherever I am, whatever is happening to me in my life, I've learned to be content with that. I must admit to you, I'm still learning. I'm seeking for this. I have probably testified here, maybe to some of you personally, that I've had one of the hardest years of my life, starting at Monarch last year. The Lord has brought me through that and has given me a great victory. I wish I could tell you the whole details and you would understand. I gained that great victory late in the spring. The change that came over me was one of such release from the stress of this battle that I had been fighting for so long, that I came into a place of real peace. And I thank the Lord for it. I came into a place that I wish I had words to describe it. Then the enemy comes along and he begins to make you think something's wrong because you're at peace. This is what the enemy does to get us discontented. Do you see the two? You get in this battle and the enemy fights you because you're in the battle. And then you get peace, and then he fights you because you're in the peace, to keep you discontented. Well, I called a brother minister on the phone, and I told him how I was feeling. I'm troubled because I'm in peace. I'm fearful because I'm in peace. I'm afraid I'm going to stay this way and lose my soul. Did you know you can lose your soul in a time of peace? When you're in the battle, you're on your toes. I told this brother, I said, when I was in the heat of the battle, I said, the Lord gave me something every day. I said I would have a scripture that sounded like the Lord was just speaking it plainly straight to me. I said I would gain strength from that. I would gain a victory from that. And now here I am, I'm in a time of peace and I'm scared to death. Do you see how that we need to be contented? He began to talk to me. His brother Leslie, I call him my brother-in-law. but he began to talk to me about, he said, you need to just be happy right where you are. Be happy. The Lord has given you a time of peace because he says the battle's next. Well, the very next day is when our little granddaughter took bad. You think that's not a battle? Yes. So if you get in a time of peace, enjoy it. And then be prepared, be watchful, be prayerful, be on your guard, because something else is right behind the door. But be contented. Be happy. Be happy in the battle. Oh, how can I be happy in the battle? I want to tell you the way is to exercise yourself unto godliness. That's the only way. Seek those things that are above. That's the only way. Right in the battle, when he begins to give you the scriptures, when he gives you that song in the night, let that be your contentment. Thank the Lord. I want you to know I'm talking to myself today. I'm not just putting this out here and saying, you better do it and you better do what I say. I'm saying Maxine Busby better do it too. I feel it this morning. Paul said, I've learned something. You and I can learn something, how to be contented. Right where God has us. Just right there. I got to thinking about one way I could be contented. Really believe the scripture. Just believe it. And the scripture that came to me was this one. All things work together for my good because I love the Lord and I am called. Make it personal. Say, this is my scripture. I can be contented because I believe that all of this is working for my good because I love the Lord, because I am called according to His purpose. Oh, this is how we can be contented. But if we don't believe that scripture, if we believe that everything is sent my way to hurt me, to destroy me, and we know that the enemy is out to kill and steal and destroy, but nothing can come to my life except God permit it, it will cause me then to be more contented right in that place. You know, it's not easy for one to lose a companion. And I haven't had to go through that. But you know, we can be so discontented in that place that our life is miserable. I've seen it. And yet I have seen those who have lost a companion. Satisfied with their life, right where they were. Just contented. That's great gain. Godliness with that kind of contentment is great gain. Oh, that clock moves too fast. I'll try to wind this up. I had much more. Let's consider Paul now here again in the I've learned to be contented. Verse 12 says, I know both how to be abased. I know how to be put down. I know how to be in the lowest place. But he also said, I know how to abound. That's contentment. When I've been in the valley, and then the next day I'm up on the mountaintop, I'm still contented. That's what the Lord is desiring out of our lives. And that's what I desire out of my life or in my life. It says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed. I'm taught both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then this is the reason he can do this. He says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound because I have learned that in him I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ that makes me able to do it or strengthens me to do it. See? Thank the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you, there are several more scriptures about Paul. I have a lot more here. I'm going to have to read one. How did Paul get this way? Acts 20. Let's just hurry through this part. Don't want to keep you too late. I thought that I could condense this, but starting at the 22nd verse, and it says, and now behold, I go in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, if you've ever studied the life of Paul, you've seen that he did not have an easy life. He was a prisoner most of his life. And he was contented. He learned contentment in that place. If you and I are in a place today, whatever that is, to find contentment is great gain. Verse 24 says, but none of these things move me. Neither count my life dear. There's contentment. When I've come to the place that these things don't turn me away from the Lord, it doesn't distress my soul, I have found contentment. Quickly turn to 2 Timothy, the first chapter and the 12th verse. We want to pick up a scripture there. It says, Paul is also writing this, for the which cause, what? It's 2 Timothy 1 and 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded. Somebody else is mouthing those words. I am persuaded. This is how he was able to be contented. We feel like that we need to stop at this time, but this is a big subject that we can all go home and study on, examine our lives, search out our motives. Am I contented? Godliness with contentment is great gain. I'll tell you what, I believe that we'll have less nerve problems, less stresses of our mind, if we can come to the place, I am contented with the very place that the Lord has me. I believe He knows what He's doing and trust Him to finish the job. He's not through with us yet. There was one little saying that I read in the little streams in the desert. They who are God's without reserve are in every state content. Now think on that. I am the Lord's without reservation. I'm not holding back in this area or that area. And when I am the Lord's all the way, I'll have contentment. You pray for us that we will be faithful. We're still fighting the same old devil. We need to know how to be abased. We know how to abound. You pray for us.